like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet. I'm glad He loves us. He gave His only begotten Son, the Bible says. Christ shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. That's love. The perfect for the imperfect. What a Savior. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 21. When Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him, and thronged Him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched His garment. For she said, If I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And He looked round to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for all that You've done, and we thank You, Lord, for this precious story in the Bible. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity to be gathered together here one more time, to open Thy Word, to hear the songs of Zion. Lord, to take heed to the Spirit as it speaks to our lives and our hearts. And help me, Lord. Help me to preach in Thy power and Thy strength. Give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that every heart and every ear would be attentive as You work to fulfill their needs and meet their needs in their life. Lord, do that great thing, Lord, which only You can do. And I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will be evident in this place. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. And Lord, today may we see and hear from Thee and Thee alone. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse 22. The Bible says, There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And I want to speak this morning to you on coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. We see this man that comes to the Lord. And I'm reminded that when I read the Bible, that no person that ever came to the Lord with a sincere desire, with a sincere request, walked away without being helped. You know, the Lord can help anybody. He can accomplish anything that needs to be accomplished. There's many people that say that they've tried and it didn't work with them, but I can tell you it wasn't the Lord's fault. Because if you come looking to help, looking for help from God, God will help. God will do what needs to be done. Now, God's help may not be exactly what we thought would be help, you know? God may not do what it is that we're looking to be done, but if we're truly seeking the Lord for help, God will take care of us. From whatever state of life a person may be in, they may come to the Lord in, whatever condition it may be, the Lord is always ready to help those as they come and to seek Him. In the Bible, we find the great stories. We see that every time a blind person came to the Lord desiring to be helped, they went away seeing, didn't they? We see that every leper that we read of in the Bible that cried unto the Lord went away clean. And every lame person went away from the Lord and they had been delivered and they went away whole. Then every time we see a sinner crying out to the Lord in the Bible, we see that they were made a new creature in Christ. We see when sinners come to the Lord, they call upon Him, He's there to help. In the scripture that we've read, the Bible says, "There cometh one of the ruler of synagogue, Jairus by name." This precious father, what a man we see. This man knew that he couldn't do what needed to be done in the life of his family. He knew that his daughter was to a point that he could do no help. He couldn't do anything. His little girl was dying, and he left her to come to Jesus. To ask the Lord Jesus for help. His coming wasn't in vain either, by the way, because he found the answer in Christ. When you come to the Lord Jesus, He'll give you the answer. He'll give you what it is that you need. I want us to look at this story this morning, and very quickly I want us to see three things, and they're so very simple, but I think they're important, a very important message about this man coming to Jesus. I want you to see, first of all, the reason for his coming. The reason for his coming. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. The Bible says that Jairus came and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." We find here that the Lord gives us a great story, something that we can identify with. Because we would do anything we could for our children. We would work and do anything that we possibly could. And he likens this story. He gives us this great story and helps it to fit into our life so that we can identify. And so we can sense that this would be a story that God would be speaking to us through. And we can look at this story and we can see great things about it. Here's a man who's got a girl. And this little girl is 12 years old. And she's dying. And he has no doubt done everything that he could possibly do. I imagine he's had doctors to look. I imagine, you know, people have come by. I imagine every kind of home remedy has been prescribed by everybody in the neighborhood. You know how it is. When you get something, then everybody's got the answer for it. But nothing was working. And he says, "I'm going to go find Jesus." We could break it down into two things here as we look at this. First of all, we can see the trouble that he had. His little girl was dying. There was no hope. There was nothing that he could do. There was nothing that anybody else could do. And Jerry said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And he loved this girl just like any dad that's any kind of man at all would love their precious child. And he had this trouble. And this trouble was his daughter was dying. And he brought his troubles to Jesus. And I think how many times it takes troubles in our life to get us to the point where we need to be. How come this man hadn't come to the Lord before? We don't see that he did. But he'd come to a place of trouble. Thank God we have a merciful God. Because God many times while working our lives, and he allows trouble to come in order to get our attention. We always look at trouble as being tragic, but many times it's trouble as the working of God in our life. This little girl meant so much to her daddy. I can imagine that, can't you? I can see what that would be like. If you have children, you understand that. He loved her. Everything that he could do, he's done. Every avenue that he could take, it seemed like he could take. But he had this trouble, and the trouble was that everything that he tried did not work. God permits troubles many times to get people to see their need of the Lord. The trouble that he had, but I want you to see, secondly, the testimony he had heard. There's no doubt that Jairus had heard about Jesus. Hear her, just like this woman that had the issue of blood, she had heard about the Lord. And this testimony of this man, Jesus, had gone throughout the land. And he said, I've went to the doctors and they couldn't help. I've listened to the remedies and they couldn't help. I've done everything that I know to do and I cannot help. But I hear there's a man that can do things that's beyond my imagination. A man that is great and mighty. A man that has power unlike any power that we've come up with. He had heard about Jesus and he says, I must go to him. And he had heard and I wonder if he had even witnessed some of the mighty works that the Lord had done. And he believed in him and he believed that there was a necessity to trust the Lord. And dear friends, we must believe that Jesus can and will do what it is that we need. So many times we call on Jesus not thinking that he's really able. We get to a point in our life when we call out to the Lord, but many times we'll make a prayer like, God, I really need your help with this. But I know it's probably too much to ask. And God on His throne in heaven is saying it's never too much to ask. Do you realize there's not one problem that He cannot solve? There's not one prayer that He cannot answer? And there's not one person that He cannot save? Dear friends, there's nothing too hard for God. Jairus had heard and possibly had seen some of the workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I've got to get to Jesus. I've tried everything else. It's an amazing thing how many of us try everything before we come to the point where we realize we just need the Jesus. We just need the Lord. You know, people try everything, don't they? How many people do you know, they try everything to fulfill the voids in their life? They'll try drugs. They'll try alcohol. They'll try immorality, they'll try being wild, they'll try being just free, they'll try being nothing, you know. And then they realize none of them things work. And then when they try Jesus, what a difference it makes. The reason he came was his daughter was sick. The reason he came was the trouble that he had. The reason that he came to Jesus was the testimony he had heard. Here's the sad thing. I think one of the reasons that people are not coming to Jesus today is they're not hearing the testimony of God's people, of what God's done in our lives. We need to be telling people what Jesus has done for us. We need to be telling the world that He saved us and He's changed us and He fulfills our desires and He gives us a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We work with people, maybe they're not Christian people, and maybe they do wild and crazy things, invite you to come along and maybe go to a party or go to a bar or go to some place and have a little time with them. And maybe we ought to just stop and say, you know what? I don't need that. I have everything I need in the Lord. I don't need those things to fill voids in my life. My void's been filled. Boy, that'd be hard to do, preacher, because, you know, they'd make fun of me then. I don't guess they ever made fun of the disciples. I don't guess they made fun of the early century church. I don't guess any of them ever got stoned. And not stoned like from smoking pot either, right? Stoned with stones. They were persecuted. They were beaten. They were bruised. They were ridiculed. They were made fun of. They gave their lives because they had faith in Jesus and they knew that they could not deny Him. Dear friends, that's what the world needs to see. Because Jairus had seen it in other people's lives, he says, I got to get to this man. I got to get to this person. I need to get to Jesus. Jairus was a good father because he loved his child. But he was a great father because he came to the one that he knew could take care of the need. You're a good father today if you love your kids, but you're a great father if you lead your kids to Jesus. If you choose to show your children that there's only one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great father, isn't it? That's a father that takes care of it. Well, I look at this and I think about people that need to come to Jesus for salvation. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to realize you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. If you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can say, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says the devil believes and they tremble. But have you ever come to a place in your life where you recognize that you were a sinner and realized that He was a Savior and you called upon the name of the Lord and you trusted Him by faith? If you've never had that take place in your life, you are in big trouble, sir. You're in big trouble, ma'am, because you're headed towards hell. And there's only one thing that can stop you, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, if you're here today and you don't have the peace and the assurance that heaven's going to be your home, you're in trouble, whether you recognize it or not, and there's no one else that can help you but Jesus. But you know what? If you'll come to Him just as you are, He'll take you just like you are, and He'll save you, and He'll help you. There's no other way. The song says, what do you hope, dear brother, to gain by further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus, and there's no other way but His way. If you're going to go to heaven today, there's only one way, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for His coming. This father, Jairus, had a reason for coming to the Lord. And I want you to see the response to His coming. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 24, and Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, Lord, everybody's touching you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me in a different way. He knows, don't he? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague. Now, you can imagine. The reason for his coming was his daughter was sick. The response was, all right, I'll go with you. And as he's going, there's all kinds of people gathered around the Lord Jesus. I mean, they are thronging him. Jairus is saying, we need to get there in a hurry. My daughter's dying. You can imagine, right? There's one hope. My daughter's dying, and you're the only hope she has. Let's get there in a hurry. But he can't because there's a press around him. I'm telling you, they are thronging him. They are all over him. They want to be with him. They want to see him. They want to touch him. You know what it's like. And then there's this woman that touches him in a different way because she came looking just like Jairus came looking. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus can be helping somebody else and helping you all at the same time. Sometimes we try to limit the Lord, don't we? But I want you to, just for a moment, let's go out of the story of Jairus and his daughter. I want you to see this woman's condition. Just for a second, we'll get right back into Jairus. How old was Jairus' daughter? 12. How long had this lady had this issue of blood? 12 years. Here's a lady that struggled for 12 years. Apparently, Jairus' daughter had just became ill, from everything we can read. Here's a man that thought, boy, I tell you, this is the end. And they've struggled maybe for weeks, maybe a few months. Tried everything, couldn't do it. But here's a lady that, as long as this little girl's been alive, has had an issue of blood, and she's struggled with sickness. She's fought it. Her life has just been devastated. She spent everything she had trying to get help, and she couldn't get help. And Jesus goes with Jairus, and he's going to his daughter, but he has time to stop and help this dear lady. Now I imagine while Jesus is sitting here talking to this lady, saying, who touched me? Jairus is saying, it don't matter who touched you, let's go. Now I'm telling you, that's what we would be thinking, right? If we had the Lord and it was our child that was sick and we knew time was of the essence, you know, that's what we're thinking because we're humans and we can only think in the human realm. We can only think like men think. We can't think like God thinks. And so we're sitting there and we're saying, we need to get over here. And Jesus stops and says, somebody touched me. The disciples are saying, you're saying, somebody touched you? Everybody's touched you. And he looks and his eyes meet this woman's eyes. And she knew that something had been done in her body. And she said, I've got to tell you everything. Now, I'm not trying to add, but I can imagine Jairus is saying, please tell him later. We need to get on. But she tells him all the truth. And the Lord Jesus gives her words of comfort. What a Savior. What a wonderful Lord we have. The response is, I'll go with you. But in going with him, we see a testing of this father's faith. He had come to Jesus in faith, believing that he could do something. And now, the Lord Jesus is going, but he's delayed by this woman that's sick that touched his garment. And then while they're there, at this place, where this woman has touched his garment, there comes somebody from the ruler's house and says, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master any longer. Now here's a man, he's done what he knew to do. He's come to Jesus. And things are looking up. Because Jesus is coming. He's going with Jairus, and then they get the news, your daughter's dead. Can you imagine? His heart dropped out. It dropped out the bottom. My little girl, she's dead. And then the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, as soon as Jesus heard that they had come and said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? The Bible says that he looked to the ruler. He looked to Jairus. And this is what he said, be not afraid, only believe. What a Savior. What a Savior. And the Bible teaches us here that the father's faith was tested and when he got this word from those of his house, but Jesus was reassuring him. I want you to understand this today. There's never been anybody that's considered coming to Jesus that the very powers of Satan has not tried to hinder him. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and right now you're thinking, I want to know this Jesus, and I want to know that heaven's going to be my home. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know and have peace in my heart. I'm telling you, the devil's going to be on the other side of you saying, it's impossible for you to trust the Lord. It's impossible for this to be true. It's impossible for this to happen. And he's going to try to hinder you. He'll start making you think, well, maybe people think I'm already saved, and so, you know, I don't want to look bad in front of others. I don't want people to think bad of me because, you know, I've already made this profession of faith, and, you know, I've already been baptized, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that. The only thing that matters is that you know that you know that heaven's going to be your home. You need to have peace about this. I'm not trying to make anybody be unsaved that's already saved, but you know today if you have trusted Christ by faith, by grace, through faith, you know if you've done that. And dear friends, if you've done it, you're saved. Heaven's going to be your home. But there's a lot of people that like to play church. There's a lot of people that like to get mom and dad off their back. There's a lot of people that like to look good in front of others. But you know that you've never truly asked Jesus to forgive your sins and by faith be your Savior. And if that's you today, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from coming to that place in your life. Don't go another day without it. Don't let the devil win. Jesus died for you. And he arose the third day for you. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father for you if you'll put your faith and trust in him. The response was, Jesus said, I'll go. But as he went, this man's faith was tested. Tested by the fact that they stopped and then they come and get the report. Your daughter's dead. And this is the point where these words of the Lord Jesus are so precious. This man's hopes had just vanished away. It's gone. My girl's gone. Jesus said, be not afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid because it's a hard case. The Lord Jesus specializes in hard cases. Don't be afraid because you don't think you can hold out. The Lord does the holding out, dear friends. Don't be afraid because of what others will say. It doesn't matter what others will say. The only thing that matters is that you know that you're saved and heaven's going to be your home. In the end, that's what counts. Is do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then I want you to see the result of His coming. We see the reason, the response to His coming. Now we see the result of His coming. The Bible says in verse 41 and 42, and He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with the great astonishment. We find now that Jesus comes to the home. The girl is in there, dead in every sense of the word that we would look at as being dead, but the Lord Jesus says something different. He knew what He was going to do. But when He gets to the home, the first thing He did was He got rid of all the doubters, didn't He? He told all of those that were scorning and laughing and mocking Him because he said, why are you making such a big deal? Why are you making such an ado? She's not dead, she's asleep. In other words, I'm getting ready to wake her up. And they begin to laugh at her and laugh at him, and they scorned him. And he puts them all out. And then Jesus proved Himself to be the one who has all the power. And the Bible says here in verse 41 and 42 that he takes this young girl by the hand, and with the power that later raised the widow of Nain's son, by the power of the hand that later called out the name Lazarus, and Lazarus come forth from the tomb, the power that conquered death, hell, and the grave, that same power took this young 12-year-old girl by the hand. And said to her, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose. And they were astonished. The Bible says they were astonished with a great astonishment. She rose and she walked out. And all those people that had laughed him to scorn were shocked. How many people do you know today that they come to you and they say, you know, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And you're just shocked. That's because there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And it's the power that changes lives and makes such a difference. The power of the Lord has not been minimized, that the lost soul can be assured that if they'll just come to Jesus by the same power that He raised this young girl, the same power that He'll give them new life. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian, every believer is a living testimony of the change that takes place when a sinner is saved by the grace of God. What happened to this young girl was amazing to those people. It was astonishing. And the results of you being saved, if you've never been saved, or the results of you giving God your life, will be an amazing thing to people. They'll say there's something different about you. You may be saved today, but you've not surrendered fully to God. Salvation's believing in Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What the Bible says. And there's a lot of people that's trusted Christ as Savior, but they've not lived their life God get a hold of your life and you start living for Him in a greater way, you know what's going to happen? People's going to be astonished at that too. They're going to say, there's something different about you, sir. There's something different about you, ma'am. We look at the story of this man on Father's Day. The greatest healing is not that of some terminal illness. I want you to understand that. The greatest healing is that Christ would forgive all of our sins and promise us a home in heaven. And that's the healing that lasts forever. This little girl may have been healed and this woman may have been healed, but they eventually died. We don't know how much longer they lived. They eventually died. God may heal you of one thing, but then something else is going to get you. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, death in this old world is just the beginning of life. And it's the greatest gift that you could ever have. I don't want some terminal illness in my life. But it would be better to have some terminal illness with my faith in Jesus than to have health all my days and no faith in Jesus. Right? Because at the end of this life, there is an eternity. And if you have Christ, that eternity is going to be in heaven. But if you don't have Christ, that eternity is going to be in hell. And by the way, God didn't prepare that eternity for you. He prepared it for Satan and all his angels, all his followers. Here's the sad thing, though. If you're not trusting Christ with your life, you're not following Him, and there's only two you can follow. It's the Lord or the devil. Be sure you're following the Lord today. Here's a man, Jairus. He's a good dad because he cared for his daughter. But I believe he became a great father when he came to Jesus and realized there's only one hope for my family, for my little girl, and that hope's Jesus. And he brought Jesus to his family. The greatest thing you can do, men, is to be sure you're bringing Jesus to your family. And you're teaching them His ways. In the morning, in the evening, and noon, you're showing them the Word of God, living the life that God would have you live. Ladies, same thing with you. Is be sure that Jesus is in your life and He's in your home. May the Lord help us. Do you know Him? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a couple of questions to ask you. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've trusted this Jesus. I'm saved. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know that heaven's going to be my home. Now, I'm not perfect here in this old flesh, but I know that I've trusted the perfect Savior. If I were to die today, through faith in Him, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you keep your hands up just for a moment? Raise your hands and keep them up just for a moment. I know I'm saved. Not perfect, but I'm saved, and I'm happy about this. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I didn't raise my hand right then. If I were to die today, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't have that faith, that peace, that assurance that Jesus is my Savior. And I'm tired of playing games about it. I'm tired of pretending that I'm something that I'm not. I'm tired of not knowing that heaven's going to be my home. I'm tired of laying my head down on my pillow at night and just hoping that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. And right now, I'm going to admit, I don't know that. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I care enough that I'd have you to pray for me. I didn't lift my hand just a moment ago, but right now I'm going to lift my hand and ask that you would pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I'm not saved, Preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would there be one this morning? Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to know, but right now I don't. Many of us raised our hands, we're saved. Heaven's going to be our home. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know that we're saved and we're on the way to heaven? But let's ask ourselves this question, not a showing of hands, but I want you to personally ask yourself, am I doing my best at bringing Jesus to others that are around me? Bearing the witness of Christ and being willing to bear the reproach of the cross of Christ. Am I willing to do with my life what God wants me to do? Men, it's Father's Day today. A great father will be a father that brings Jesus to his family. and takes Jesus with him to where he works, brings him to other places. Our society would be a much better society if our men would be followers of Jesus. They would lead our families to the Lord. You know who you are today. As God is speaking to you, men, ladies, maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, help me to be a better witness. Help me to tell others about you. Help me to be diligent in revealing you to my family and to my friends and to my coworkers, the people that I know and care about. Oh, Lord, please help me. Let's pray. Father, may thy will be done. Have your way in this time of invitation. We give it unto thee. May we be obedient. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet? Brother Chris is going to begin to sing a hymn of invitation here in just a moment.